Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Welcome to today's Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to have you along. Ted Ross at the controls, and Chris is at the phones. And Ted, I've been thinking about retirement lately.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, something I said or did? Or?
I don't know. If you keep saying it, maybe I'll think about it more. No. Actually, it's one of those things that we probably ought to be thinking about more than we do, no matter what our age. I'm a little closer to it than you are.
Yeah.
And Carissa, you know, that's not even on her radar.
No.
Screen. Not even close. But
she's got other big life events happening first,
I think. that'll be a whole other show. We are going to talk, though, about that second half or maybe the third half of life. You know, in 2011, the first of 76 million baby boomers, nearly a quarter of the U.S. population, began turning 65. So We're coming.
Yeah, that's you, huh?
Yes, sir. Getting there. So, for the next 15 years or so, over 10,000 of them will celebrate that birthday. And so we've got a lot of people that are moving into this age and stage. And then the question is, how do we approach retirement? What do we look at it? Is it even biblical to talk about retirement? And we've got a great book to reference and to reflect on today with a couple of guests that have co-authored the book. And I was just going to say, speaking of books and writing, not asking for a book, but if you are a writer or would like to become one, we are in the midst of our third annual Faith Radio Writers Contest. And you can make your submission online. We've got details about it. And you can also vote for your favorite entry. And many people have been doing that. So we've got a number of submissions already. The deadline for submissions is coming up here by Sunday. So I just encourage you, if you can get out your 800 words. So I think it's 800 words.
That's right, yeah. Fiction or nonfiction. We have two categories. Three winners will be chosen from each, and then you can maybe meet with a publisher, too, if you're chosen.
Which is a great opportunity. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Get details on our website, myfaithradio.com, and wish you well on that. Our guests today are both writers and teachers and speakers, and in Hans Finzel's case, a successful podcaster. He's an authority in the field of leadership. He's trained leaders internationally in five continents, recently completed 20 years as president and CEO of the international nonprofit World Venture, and that will come into play in our conversation as well. And he's co-authored with Rick Hicks. He was an author and international speaker and consultant, served as president of OM USA for 14 years, currently the North American leader for OM, Operation Mobilization. And Rick has also authored a number of books, and they've co-authored together the new one called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. And we're glad to have them on with us together as we launch into the conversation about retirement, and maybe let's just start with the title, guys. I'll start with you, Rick. The book is called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. And I'm wondering if that means, maybe by implication of the title, that, you know, we didn't have purpose later in life a generation ago. I mean, talk about what's unique.
Well, that's a good question. It used to be, in a general sense, that people would retire at about age 65, and they sometimes would die at age 68. And so this, what happens after retirement, there wasn't a lot of time. There wasn't a lot of discretionary funds available. And so there just weren't a lot of big plans. And as time has gone along, as health has improved, longevity has improved, people aren't dying at 68 or 78 or sometimes even 88. So there's this whole new span of 20, 30 years after we kind of stopped our main act. And so we're calling that our encore, and we're just wanting to give people a view of what some of their options are, of what they can do in this final period of life, and it actually takes some forethought because it doesn't just happen. So that's kind of how Hans and I got into this process together.
And Hans, did this book come out of? I mean, you've written a number of books and done a lot of leadership training. Did this come out of kind of your personal experience as much as anything?
I think for both of us, let me just say, we're not saying you didn't have meaning and purpose earlier in life. Most people do. But one thing we realize is we need to find that later in life as well, because we don't believe in the R word, traditional retirement. Rick and I are both about the same age. We're both boomers. And we hate the word retirement, by the way, and because to me it sounds like I'm sidelined, I'm marginalized, I'm put on the shelf, I'm stuck in an old folks' home, and neither one of us are up for that. And we both decided to give up our leadership roles in our we were leading major ministries, international ministries, and after we turned 60, we decided, you know, let's let the young Joshua step in and do all the command and control heavy lifting, and let's shift to a different kind of role, which we'll get into in the book here, about more wisdom, mentoring, advice. So we said, let's write a book about this journey that we're really both on right now. And I'm about 3 years into post-leading a ministry. So that's kind of what inspired us to write the book.
It's called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. And by the way, we do have four copies to give away. And this is it's a well-written, wonderful resource. You'll appreciate it, and it will benefit you at whatever stage you might be in. But I know that you'll know somebody that could really benefit from this if you'd like to just sign up for the drawing. We do a drawing at the end of the hour for the resources that we have available. And so this sign up for that by giving us a call here right now at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And if you have a question about, you know, about the R word, even though we don't want to use it, but we'll talk about launching your encore. In fact, I know in the book you address the issue about health. I mean, we talked, Rick, you mentioned, you know, a generation ago, people maybe didn't live past retirement, but is, in fact, retirement bad for your health? I mean, there are some studies that suggest we probably need to take a look at that.
Well, a lot of people have taken a look at that. And, you know, in preparing for this book, we were reading some things, and I came across a comment that Henry Nouwen made. And he talked about when you get to the end of your kind of productive employed life, he said, you kind of have a choice, and there's going to be a split in the pathway there, and you can kind of go to the dark side or you can go to the light. Now, he wrote this before Star Wars, by the way. but going to the dark side was basically when you get to this period of life, you can actually feel entitled. You can become grumpy. You cannot be engaged in things, and we all know people that just kind of go sit in their house, they're on their couches, they think their kids and grandkids and everybody else should be doing things for them, and they become entitled, and it's like people really don't want to be around them, and they actually kind of create this scenario that's, one, not healthy, and two, nobody wants to be around them, and that can diminish your lifespan. But on the other side, if you kind of go towards the light, basically, Nouwen would say, at that point, you're not entitled, but you're actually a contributor to society. You have a reason to get up. You have a reason to be involved in things, and that actually helps prolong your life. So there are a lot of medical studies that support that, but that kind of from Nouwen, that's the kind of spiritual philosophical approach to that, and I've seen that true in a number of people.
I would be interested in your perspective, too, about, you know, just our society. I mean, the culture in which the boomers grew up in, steeped in, you know, freedom, casting off restraints, celebration of the self. So, you know, when it comes to launching your encore, finding a purpose later in life, I mean, does this just become sort of one more self-serving desire? I mean, can we miss the maybe the point of this season?
Well, I love that.
Go ahead,
that's good. I was going to say, in some ways, yes, we boomers have redefined every stage of life we've been in. And you could say it's self-serving, but we actually make a huge point about giving back in this book to society. And not, to me, traditional retirement is kind of selfish, the golf carts, the beaches. And we're saying, hey, no, we're big on volunteering in your church and missions and in your community. So, yeah, we don't see it as another age of self-serving. We see it the opposite, the age of giving back.
And we'll address more in detail coming up in a moment. Before we take a break, you talk about this 60-80 window, and maybe just say why you selected that time period and kind of give us a little framework about what the book involves.
Well, the 60-80 window is that it's those years between 60 and 80, and those are the years that you still may have significant health and productivity. And those are the years that a lot of times people aren't as gainfully employed. So we're looking at as a period of how can I, and you know, in your introduction, you actually made a comment. You said, how can you, you know, best prepare yourself for the second half of life, or actually the third half? And this is the third half. If you divide your work life into the first and second half, this is after all that's over. And when you're not the boss of something, you're not in the position you've been in after all the years you've worked, what you have is your wisdom and you have your experience. And in that wisdom and experience, that's what is going to help you to move along in life. It's not going to be your position or the authority you have. It's your influence. And that tends to happen between those years of 60 and 80. And so that's a window that sometimes people don't look as a productive time of life, but we see it, as Hans just referred to, this might be the most significant time of your life, actually applying wisdom, compassion, servanthood to society, as opposed to just command and control.
We'll address some specifics about launching your encore. Launch Your Encore is the title of the new book from Hans Van Zyl and Rick Hicks. Hans is an author, highly sought after speaker. He's a leader among leaders. Hopefully you read one of his eight books. The bestseller is The Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make. And Rick Hicks is also an author and a speaker. He has authored the book Seeking Solid Ground and Boomers, Xers, and Other Strangers. And together they've put together this great resource called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. We've got copies to give away. Encourage you to sign up for it. Join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Coming back in a moment, we'll talk about some of the questions that important questions we should ask. And we'll see what the Bible has to say about this season of life, all that and more. Just ahead on Connecting Faith.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart?
It's 18 past the hour, and so those questions are ones that we ask probably at all stages of life, but they have some added weight as we move into that third of life there. Who am I, and what is it all about? What happens when the doing and having, go away? We're going to talk a little bit about that with our guests today, Hans Van Zyl and Rick Hicks, have co-authored a new book called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. Both Hans and Rick are in transition seasons in their life after serving in leadership positions in ministry and authoring books and still speak and are actively involved. But they're telling from their own personal experience some of these time-tested principles about how we can thrive in this 60 to 80 time season. And let's talk about that, guys. What happens when it's not about sort of doing and having anymore, but now it's about being? That's maybe a challenge for all of us at any age.
Hans here. I think that men especially get wrapped up that our identity is what we do. The second question a man asks another man after their name is, what do you do? And that's kind of our identity. And that's something you have to really wrestle with it when your main act career is over. And let us say that a lot of people are forced into retirement. A lot of jobs you have to retire, whether you're an airline pilot or you name it. So a lot of people have to retire, and then all of a sudden, especially men, they've lost their identity. And actually, I went through that. I mean, I chose to leave my career when I turned 60. I did not choose to retire. I choose to launch my Encore and rebrand myself and rebuild myself and retread myself. So one of the first things I had to do was wrestle with, all right, who am I now? And it was actually an excellent exercise for me because I realized, well, you know, I'm a child of God. I follow Jesus. I'm husband to Donna. I'm father to four wonderful children. I'm a grandfather. You know, those things, aren't they as important as your job? So we think that this identity, it can be a crisis, and a rebuilding of your identity can be a really healthy thing, but it can also be a scary thing.
Yeah, you know, we give an illustration of that in the book in Chapter 10. And for your listeners that are familiar with the Fellowship of the Rings, Tolkien wrote about this, and it's the story of Gandalf the Grey versus Gandalf the White. And, I mean, I just love these stories, and there are just so many little subplots in them. But, you know, Gandalf the Grey, he was the guy that led all the hobbits, and he was the command and control guy, and he was the wizard that basically, you know, ran everything. And then he dies and falls into the fiery pit. He comes back as Gandalf the White. Well, as Gandalf the White, he's now a higher level up wizard, and his role as a wizard then is not to be the command and control guy. He's not on the hike with the hobbits and the dwarfs and all those guys. He's actually the advisor. He's influencing them. He's not controlling, leading them. And it's such a picture of what happens to us where we're not in charge of stuff, but we have the acquired wisdom of all of our years of experience. And that wisdom may be more important and valuable than the actual days that we were when we were in charge and running things. So that idea of being more an influencer as opposed to a controller, it's actually a pretty powerful story, and that's what we're talking about here.
Now, you address as well in the book, and you sort of touched on it, Hans, just by asking the identity question, you know, who am I now? But what are some of the important questions that we should ask? I mean, I guess probably obviously we need to talk about money and finances, but what are some that and others? What things should we be thinking about as we approach this season?
Yeah, let me just say, this isn't just, you know, Rick and I were both leaders, but this is for anybody. And as we talk to a lot of people about what do you think about retirement, how do you feel about it, we got as many negatives as positives. But we got a lot of positives from people who said, I hate my job. I can't wait till I can qualify for retirement and leave it. So just want to make that clear. This is for anybody. And so the question becomes, who am I now? What am I going to be next? And I'll just throw out one idea, and then Rick probably wants to follow up with something else. But, you know, it can be a great time in life to finally do what you've always wanted to do. Maybe you wanted to open a coffee shop. Maybe you wanted to write a book. Me, I wanted to be a podcaster because I love teaching. So I learned how to podcast, and now I'm – people say, who are you, Hans? Well, in addition to the stuff I already listed, I'm a podcaster. I love it because I'm a teacher. I know who I am. We mentioned in one chapter about all the different kind of tests that a lot of us have taken, things like the DISC test or the Myers-Briggs or the StrengthsFinders. And one thing we encourage people is do it again now at this stage in your life because you'll be surprised at how different the results are. So my answer is, figure out who you are at this stage of your life and realize I am very different than I was when I was 50 or 40. And the thing that used to fuel me perhaps drain me now. And so you need to find those new things that what I call your passion. You know, what is it that really makes you want to get out of bed on Monday morning?
And, you know, I would add to that as you look at this, there are going to be as many different approaches as there really are people looking at this. And in our book, we have a section there called Stories, People Show Us the Way. And we have these five different stories of people that took their encore in five really different directions. And so we're not saying that one size fits all. As a matter of fact, you could just never say that. We're wanting to encourage our readers to look at who are you now, who are you going to be in the future, and what do you want to do with all of that? And these five stories give you kind of five different directions. One of them is an area that we call a rolling retirement, and that is that some people, when they get through working, they kind of say, hey, I want to retire, I want to play golf, I want to go to the beach. Hey, we're all for that. We love that. And that's okay for about a month. And then you kind of say, I need some meaning and purpose, and so I want to continue to do something. And we have noticed a very strong direction for people is once they retire, they kind of stay in their industry, maybe as a consultant. Maybe they just do if they work somewhere instead of working, you know, 5 days a week, which sometimes can be 70 or 80 hours, they work 1 or 2 days a week. And this whole idea of a rolling retirement is if you still need some money, but you still want to have something to be engaged in, you can do just less of it, but enough to keep you engaged. But a lot of different directions, and the five stories really give people, I think, a lot of creative options as to how they want to approach it.
The book is called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. We've got some copies to give away. And Denny's called here in St. Paul. We'll get Denny's call in before the break. May not have time to answer it all, but Denny, go ahead with your question for Hans and Rick.
Yeah, see, I'm 69 years old, and due to medical reasons, large arthritis for one thing, I retired from a part-time job of driving, which I've done a lot of in my life, but it's getting harder and harder to do a whole lot physically, and I wonder if there's some ideas in the book as to something a guy can do that's not real skilled other than manual labor.
So, so guys with some health issues that provide some limitations, which, is not uncommon, I guess, at this age.
No, the older we get, the more physical limitations we're going to have. And without being morbid, every day it will get worse. I mean, we just when you're about 48, you start declining physically, and you lose 1% of strength every year for the rest of your life. So that's a reality, and we have to say, okay, if I want to do something in life, and it's not going to be physically driven, this is kind of back to the Gandalf thing. He couldn't lead the troops anymore. We become advisors, and so a lot of what could happen could be the area of volunteering. Find an area of interest that you can go, and maybe it's 2 hours a day, maybe it's 2 hours a week, but you find something that you find meaning and purpose in that you want to see happen, and give your best advice. And sometimes just people in these different volunteer areas, they just need someone to be there to help out, to give suggestions. And depending on our background and our skills, that would determine where we would volunteer. But we've seen that's the most likely one for people that have limitations. So,
all right.
Volunteering is a big part.
We can follow up a little bit more after the break if there's more to add to that. And we'll discuss further about finding adventure and purpose later in life. That's the subtitle of the new book called Launch Your Encore from Hans Finzel and Rick Hicks. Both are authors and speakers. They've been ministry leaders and joining us today to talk about this this season of life in the 60 to 80 window. We welcome your calls, your questions. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. How can we make this season the best years of our life? We'll talk more about it in just a moment. Stay tuned. Your wife's not going to really, buy into that theory, but it sounds like a good one, Ted. Is that your retirement plan so far?
I drive her away. I better not.
Sure.
Hit the drums.
No, not the drums. We're talking about what do we do when we have maybe finished that the major work season in our life? Is there something more to do in that the third in that 60 to 80 range? They call it the 60 to 80 window. It's something that Hans Finzel and Rick Hicks talk about in their new book called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. Hans is the leadership answer man in the podcasting world, and he's written, of course, best-selling book, including The Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make. He's been a ministry leader in the international nonprofit organization World Venture. Rick Hicks is also an author and speaker, and he served as president of OM USA for 14 years. And they've teamed up to give us some great insight in this. Hans, maybe just give you a chance to respond to Denny's question about, his health has limited him in doing some things. Anything you'd like to add advice for him?
Yeah, I would. First, a funny story about my wife and I. Because when I left my career at 60 and I decided I was going to build a new business out of my home, and that's a big adjustment for wives. You know, we joke around the house. Donna says, I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch. And that was a big adjustment for women when their husbands come home. So I just wanted to say as a side, that's something it took us about a year to work through, because she has a job out of our house and I have a job out of our house. And she saw me a whole lot more than she used to. But back to the question, I think the caller was probably, I get a lot of questions as we've been doing interviews about this book. Hey, I still need to make some money, but I'm not as physically capable as I used to be. Where can I find part-time opportunities? And I would say probably the place not to look is to start Googling part-time jobs, because there's lots of scams out there. But a great place to look is in your local newspapers, even these free papers that they throw on your driveway or in your apartment building. So there are lots of people looking for people that can do desk work part-time. But something else I discovered, this book is a huge topic of conversation in America, because 7 to 10 baby boomers are turning 65 every day. Many, many boomers are asking the question, where can I find part-time work? How can I find a part-time volunteering, whatever? I found that community centers and local libraries and your community colleges are all offering courses for free to help people with this topic. So that's what I would tell your caller. Look at the community college under classes they're offering for boomers or for people in transition later in life. My local library has classes to help people with this transition. So get out there in your community, get plugged in. You'll be surprised what you'll find for opportunities.
Would someone pursue that, part-time work kind of in the same way that they maybe pursued their career? That, you know, is the passion level, does that have to be the same, or is it just simply a matter of I'm providing some income and giving me some things to do?
You know, let me tell you a great story. I was at Trader Joe's. We have, I don't know if you have those where you live, but
yeah,
we have
them
in Colorado. It's a really cool grocery store. And the man who was checking me out at the counter, you know, he wasn't checking me out. He was, yeah. That sounds funny. He was the checker.
Yes, and, gotcha.
Very elegant, very dignified 70-something-year-old man. And I just, they're very friendly there. And I said, what did you do in your former life? He says, oh, I've been a financial analyst and advisor my whole life, but I retired and got really bored. And I came here to get golf money and to connect with people. And the company really encourages us to engage with the customers. And I love it. Okay, see, there's a great example. A guy who did something completely different. He's making some money. He loved it. So sometimes it's going to be in your career niche. Like Rick's story about Tom the firefighter, who has a rolling retirement, but sometimes it might be something completely different. And again, you might enjoy checking out groceries because there's not the pressure that you had in your former career.
Well, Rick, and I like to, even as you address in the book, that, and you mentioned earlier as well, that there are a number of assessments, and, you know, to take some of those assessment instruments and find that, you know, there's some other skills or interests or passions or values that I have that can be applied in just a different setting for now.
You know, a lot of people picked a career and kind of got into it and they have done well financially, or at least it provided for their family, and they stuck with it. And it just kind of was a career path. And I talk to people all the time that kind of go, well, I'm not crazy about my current job, but, you know, it pays the bills and frees me up to be involved in church and do other things. And they kind of live lifelong. Well, this encore, I mean, this is the concept of an encore. Okay, that phase of your life is over. You step off the stage. And now what do you want to do when you come back on the stage? And this really, it really is a do-over. And if you can get some pretty objective feedback, like Myers-Briggs or DISC or Strength Finders, you know, you can go out and buy the book or get online and do Strength Finders or Myers-Briggs you can do on Facebook for free. And all of a sudden it talks to you about areas of life that you prefer to get involved in and areas you prefer not to. And it's like, you know, now that I have a choice, I may actually do something completely different. I'm going to actually kind of go with real my preferences. And that's where we say that this encore period, it may be the best part of your life. The best part of what you do may be in your future as you get older because you can make more choices based on what you want to do.
Let's take another call. Tammy's listening in Sioux Falls in Faith 1270 and has a question about or comment about Moses. Tammy, you're on with Hans and Rick. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of talk more about Moses when he was sent out. He was 80 years old, and his eyes, I guess, weren't dim when his time came. So he was a strong man. But anyway, what I was kind of wanting to talk about was that because people of that age have more time than most people, and with all that's going on in the world right now, and also I'm thinking about millennials, too, with the wisdom that the older people have, there's things that the millennials don't have that they need from us, and trying to figure out what we can do to help them, because I think they're having problems in jobs and different things like that because of the way they think. And so anyway, I'm just thinking what kinds of spiritual things that people can do that can help other types of people besides their own age group.
Yeah, good word. Guys, just respond to that, you know, the opportunity to, you know, with more time and some wisdom to share.
Well, Rick's our mentoring expert, so Rick, why don't you answer that one?
Well, you know, you bring up a couple of questions, and they're good questions, and you talk about Moses at 80, and when you look at his time frame, that was just a little more than midlife. He was still very productive, and he, of course, had about another 40 years. But what I find interesting in that story is, just to add to it, is his father-in-law, Jethro. Now, you know, when Moses, when they were out wandering around for their 40 years, that's when he kind of started setting up the structure. And it says that everybody came every day to solve issues with Moses, and a whole line would form. Now, his father-in-law, who knows how old his father-in-law was, but obviously older than he was, his father-in-law comes up and says, what are you doing, man? You're crazy. Why are you doing this? Why don't you get some other people? Why don't you rethink this? And he gives them the structure that we know as kind of our modern-day hierarchy, and he says, why don't you put people over tens and over hundreds and over thousands and not you do it all? Well, the short of all that is there's this older guy that comes into arguably one of the most smartest men in the world, Moses, and this older guy gives him some advice. And I think that's really what we're talking about here. In a lot of cases, we use that acquired wisdom to give advice. Now, the second part of your question was this idea about the millennials, and they have done research lately that says the millennials are more open to input and personal relationship than any generation to date, and they actually long for input from their parents and grandparents and people of an older age. So to be able to speak into younger people's lives, and you can do that through your church, you can do that through ministries, you can do it in secular work. So it gives great opportunity there. And to be a mentor, I think, is kind of the final calling of life anyway. So I think just great opportunities. Anything to add to that, Hans?
Just that I agree with you. Rick and I both get to hang out with young people, and I find they are so hungry to listen and to learn. And now what they don't want is for us boomers to tell them, you got to do it our way. And they will resist that. But I was just on a college campus last week, and these college students just wanted to hang out with me. They were just asking me questions about life and my career and my journey. And, man, they were just soaking it up. So don't think they don't want to hear from us, that they're going to get all their answers from Mr. Google. They really do want to hear from us, and it's a powerful role we can play at this stage in our lives. We just have to get out of our house and go find out where they are. And I'll say the best place is church. If you're involved in a church, I don't like churches that segregate the ages, over segregate everybody.
I love churches that get the age groups all mixed together, because that's a great generic place where it can happen.
You know, speaking of taking advice or getting some input, let's talk about, you know, listening to our children or maybe grandchildren's needs. How much should they determine maybe when and where we retire? You know, do we move to be closer to the kids? What is your counsel and advice on that?
One part.
Well, you're a grandparent.
Yeah, I'm a grandparent of five kids, so I like to caution people, don't chase your children around the country because they're probably going to keep moving without their permission. If you have a healthy family, then it can work great. I was just with a lady. I'm at a conference here in Florida, and she's about 75, and she said, you know, about 10 years ago, we built a home across the street from our children and our grandchildren, and all of a sudden my antenna's up, and I'm like, uh-oh, this doesn't sound good. And she said, we set each parent down individually first and asked them if it would be okay if they thought it was a good idea. And I thought, well, that's healthy. And both the parents separately said we would love it because we have a very healthy relationship. We would love you to pour yourself into our grandchildren, you know, your grandchildren, our children. So that's a great story, and it's been working great for 10 years. But we also tell a story in the book about a couple who sold their ranch in Colorado and moved to North Carolina and did this, bought a house down the street from the kids and grandkids without ever asking permission, and they began to smother those children and grandchildren. And the long story short, there had to be a big intervention where the kids had to confront their parents about, hey, you know what? You're not giving us the freedom to raise our own children. You're just smothering us, and we got to set some boundaries. So we'd say it's a great idea, but talk it over carefully with your children and grandchildren before you make those kind of decisions.
Good insight today from Hans Finzel and Rick Hicks. They have lived it, what they're talking about today, and giving us a great roadmap to follow, some good questions to ask. The book is called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. And it's new from Baker Books, and we've got some copies to give away, and we'll do that drawing here at the end of the show and invite you to sign up for a book. And also, if you have a question, to join the conversation. It's 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or if you want to drop us a note, if that's more convenient, you can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's the email link there. You use that, and we'll continue the conversation looking at, how this season of transition takes place. And sometimes there's a season in the land between. What does that look like? How do we navigate that? More on that with Hans and Rick coming up in a moment. I picked up a copy of this book, Launch Your Encore. So I want to find out that, because they had a picture of a seasoned citizen with a cowboy hat on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And I got a picture of, you know, cowboys sitting in my office, you know, on a horse.
So perfect song for you.
It was good. And we're talking about launching your encore. I don't know if they really addressed, heading out to, you know, to the ranch out in Colorado. But Hans, is based in Colorado. Rick is in Southern California. Hans Finzel is a leadership expert, and he's become a leading podcaster now. And we'll give you some information about that. Led ministry World Venture for a number of years. He's written a number of books. Rick Hicks served as president of OM, Operation Mobilization USA, for 14 years. And has also authored and spoken, and they've written this great book called Launch Your Encore, talking about it today. And as the little bumper song reminded us, it's a a great adventure, but there's also some uncertainty about that. In fact, there's a quote that caught my attention in the book. It says, many people prefer the certainty of their misery to the misery of uncertainty. You know, talk about not getting stuck in neutral, because there is going to be some transitions, aren't there?
Yeah, that's a quote that
go ahead, Hans.
Threw in the book. Yeah, I was going to say that's my quote that I love, because we do find a lot of people get stuck in fear, and they hang on to jobs longer than they should, even when financially they don't absolutely have to anymore. Rick and I both know people like this. And the reason they hang on too long and create misery in the company or wherever they are, I mean, I've seen pastors do this where they won't leave a church because they are afraid of what's next, and they'll make the church miserable because they've run out of passion. And so that's a fear factor. And sometimes people will be miserable in their job, but they prefer that certainty of that misery than the misery of uncertainty, because people just fear uncertainty. And one of the big messages that Rick and I want to get across is God will take care of you. You know, just like he took care of Abraham and Sarah when he said, go. And they didn't have a picture of where they were going. They didn't have a videotape. They couldn't go on a vision trip to see what it was going to be like. Sometimes God just says, hey, you know what? Go, and I will take care of you. So we just like to encourage people. Yes, there are fears about this transition, but the worst thing you can do is be frozen and do nothing. We really call people to action. So that's my kind of view on that. Rick, you may want to say something as well.
Well, just as it deals with transition, transition is something that we have to deal with all of our life. You know, we transition from childhood to adolescence, and we have all these different transitions. We transition from one job to another. The life is filled with transitions. And oddly enough, those in the Western society don't tend to deal with transitions well. We're so pragmatic, we just want to, when something is ended, we just want to go to the next thing. And we don't want to process it. We don't want to kind of think about it. It's like, that's over. What's next? And the whole idea of processing a transition is very important in family relationships, in work. But now that we're getting to this elder stage, when we transition from kind of fully engaged, productive adults to a different role, that transition is really important. And I'll tell you, there's just a great outline of how to deal with transitions. William Bridges wrote a famous book. It's been on the top bestseller list for 25 years. It's called Transitions by William Bridges. I think that's kind of amazing. A guy named Bridges wrote a book called Transitions. But he really talks about the three phases of a transition and the ending, and that is, before we make a transition, we have to acknowledge that something has ended. And those of us that are kind of pragmatic don't want to deal with the emotions of actually acknowledging that something has ended. And once we do acknowledge that it ends, there's this neutral zone. And this neutral zone can be a time of really processing, of coming to grips with it. It might be a time of unproductivity, which is kind of a dirty word in the Western society. If you're not productive, you're not adding anything. But you really have to kind of mourn the loss of what you had. And once you've acknowledged an ending, you've kind of been in the neutral zone, you've processed it, then it's time to take the new beginning. And when we're in this stage of life, that's a very important thing to process. And we get into that much more in detail in the book. So that's just a snapshot of dealing with transition.
That's good. A lot of good insight there, just how to work through that. And also kind of talking about that land between, that, you know, you are going to go through some of those times, but that's okay, just to have a plan on the other side. One of the things that you talk about, and Rick, maybe I'll just start with you in this, about the value of wise counsel. And I'm wondering if maybe both Rick and Hans, you could give an example of maybe some wise counsel that you received, how it made a difference in your life.
Well, it is interesting that I ended up getting a PhD in developmental psychology, and I studied lifespan development. So I've studied these different stages. And it's interesting, when I was 30, and kind of my wise counsel, now Hans is going to give you a personal example of some people that have helped him, my wise counsel was when I was in my 30s, I studied kind of life stage development, and I knew what was going to come in my 40s, and I was prepared for it. When I was in my 40s, I knew what was coming in my 50s. When I was in my 60s, I looked to all the research, and I found out there's not much written about what really happens in this final stage. And so I didn't have anybody to kind of give me that guidance and that wisdom, and I didn't have the research that I'd looked at in those other stages. And that's what led us to write this book. It's like nobody's talking about this. And so it kind of startled me that there's not a lot of information out there. Now, Hans, I know when he kind of made his major transition, he had some people that actually spoke into his life specifically.
Yeah, when I decided to leave my career, I found what a lot of people do. The things when I turned 60 that I enjoyed doing the most were around the edges of my job. They weren't my job or the core of my job. And so I realized, you know, like I like to write books. I like to speak. I wanted to podcast. All those things were things I don't get paid for. And I thought, well, I'm going to leave my job. I'm going to need some money. I've decided I'm going to go out on my own, and I'm going to surround myself with a couple of lifelong trusted friends that know me well, and it will help me keep from making a really stupid mistake. Because, you know, you can't decide when you're 64 years old, I'm going to go to medical school and become a brain surgeon. I don't know, maybe you could, but it'd be a stretch. Or I'm 66 and I'm going to become a commercial airline pilot. So, I mean, that's an extreme example, but sometimes people take on new dreams about what they want to do that are unrealistic. And so I just said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get some of the people that know me best, including my wife and some lifelong friends, to speak into my life during this land between and help me figure out what's next. So that's what happened to me, and they did help me. They steered me in the right direction. They also helped me turn down some opportunities that came my way that kind of looked pretty appealing. In fact, they warned me, Hans, one of your biggest problems is going to be you're going to be tempted to maybe accept something that's not the best thing for you. And the bottom line is this, and go with your heart, go with your passion. At this stage of your life, you really ought to do what you love doing. That's kind of a mantra that I have adopted. Do what you love, love what you do. And it just can be at this stage of life, you can finally get to that place where you could do what you love and love what you do.
Well, that's for Hans. One of his things that he loves to do is mentioned about training and mentoring leaders and doing podcasting. And you can find out more about him. In fact, he and his wife have a new ministry, HD Leaders. You can find out at hdleaders.com. And I'm wondering, guys, we just have about 30 seconds left. Any other web information or places that you'd recommend we check if we want to find out more?
We do have a website, launchyourencore.com. So if you want to contact Rick and me directly, you can contact us through our website, launchyourencore.com. We're going to be developing a seminar. You can find out about it there, learn more about the book. You can download the first chapter for free. So launchyourencore.com.
Sounds good. Rick, thank you for joining us and offering your insight and expertise. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today.
Sure, enjoyed being with you.
And Hans, likewise, we've connected a long time ago on the top 10 mistakes leaders make. So I'm glad to have you back and providing some leadership in this important area. It's good to visit again.
Hey, thanks so much, Neil. We really appreciate you having us on the show.
Hans Finzel and Rick Hicks, they're co-authors of a new book from Baker Books called Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. And you can go to the website launchyourencore.com for details. And if you want to find a podcast of this program, you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and then click on Connecting Faith for the archive.